country of our Prime Minister of Canada, head of the government. When I talk about this problem, I talk about the world conditions, the troubles in the world, and about world peace. Why don't you preach the gospel? I do. Well, but not fasten if they've given their heart to the Lord. No, that's not the gospel. I'd probably get thrown out anyway if I did. Some of them don't know the Lord. They do know they had trouble. You know, I think that most people don't realize Jesus Christ did not come on a soul-saving crusade. He never had anything to change his heart to me. That is a Protestant invention. And I think it's somewhat modern than all that. And not what you find in the Bible, and not the message. There was a prophecy about Christ coming as a messenger, bringing the message. It's in Malachi, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. That is Christ speaking. And the messenger who came for his first coming was John the Baptist. But if you go on and read it, as soon as you get into the second verse, he's talking about things he never did do when he came before, but will do when he comes the next time. Because Christ is coming to the earth twice, first as the born as a baby, and as the meek lamb of God, not a weakling under any circumstances, but nevertheless called the Lamb of God who came to give his life for us. The second time he's coming as the King of Kings to rule over the rod of iron, all nations and to bring peace. And then it says, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, says the Lord of hosts. Now you go on and read, you don't find anything about his first coming at all. It's all about the second coming. For whom delight the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap, and he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering, and so on. You don't find any of that that Jesus did when he came the first time. That's talking about his second coming. And the messenger to prepare the way before him, John the Baptist, was only a type of the work to be done to prepare the way before the second coming of Christ. And that's what this church has been raised up to do, brethren. And we need to realize that. Some people went out of this church last year, about a year and a half ago, and their ministers led them out. The gospel going to the world, oh, well, we're not supposed to do that, they said. The two witnesses will do that. That's not what my Bible says. And that's not what your Bible says. And it's not what their Bible says either. And where are they now? What happened? They didn't hold many of the members they took away, and the worst of the city of it all is they didn't come back to us. They didn't come back to the Lord. They're just gone. Probably on their way into a lake of fire. And what a terrible thing it's going to be when those who did it are called to an accounting. Brethren, there's only one reason why this church exists. Only one reason. God did not call the Israelites to conversion, to receive his Holy Spirit. It was not available to them. It was not offered to them. It was offered to Adam, and then Satan came along. Let's go back and just see what has happened and where we are. Originally, there were two personages composed of spirit. One called the Word, a spokesman, and that Word was with God. And he said, so won't God. Now maybe I can explain it to say this. There was a man called Garner Tedd. And Garner Tedd was with Armstrong, and Garner Tedd was Armstrong. And I'm Armstrong. And we're two people. Now the word is not that kind of son of God, because he had always been, if he was the son of God, God would have to have existed first, and he would have to have been born. But he wasn't born. He had always existed. Your mind will grasp that. Your mind. But you have to accept it, because it's the only way. There had to be a beginning. And God was the beginning. And God created all things by the one that became Jesus Christ later, but was the Word of God. So first they created angels. There were millions of angels. And there was no matter. There was no earth. No material substance of any kind. There was just space. I wonder if you can understand that. And how many millions and millions and millions of years this went on, I don't know. Now, I know we built the finest auditorium on the face of the earth in Pasadena. But let me tell you something. Before a single bit of that auditorium was started in actual building and construction, there were 3 or 4 years of careful planning. And every tiny detail was worked out and on paper in plans and blueprints. Because the blueprints were made from your written plans. And when God finally got around to the actual production or creating, picked a different kind of animal, the different fish, just millions of different designs and everything, and everyone so perfectly worked out and designed and functioned. How long were they working all of that out way back there? Well, finally, God got around to some of the production. And so, what you read in the first chapter of Genesis in verse 1, in the beginning, God, which is Elohim, a unicorum, any more than one person, but one God. God is the family name. Armstrong is my family name. And Bernard Ted is only one of 4 children. I have forgotten. All Armstrong, except my 2 daughters. When they married, they started another family and took the name of that family from their husband, who was the father of that family. And so, God is a family, more than one person, but only one God. The family is God. And we have the opportunity to be born into that family. But now, when I say that, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit again. Let's go back. God created heaven, that's the whole physical universe, and the earth. So apparently they were all created at the same time. But the angels were there. And here was a solid, round earth. And it was beautiful. It was perfect. And they shouted for joy. It was so beautiful. Now what God creates, he creates to be used. And he intends it to be preserved in its beauty and even added to. So the angels had that wonderful opportunity. Now all the rest of the vast universe was created. Now matter came into existence. And something was to be done with it. And to govern all that, God established his government over those angels. The government of God. And the government is based on the law of God. You cannot have a government without a law. And the law of God is a way of life. It's a way, if you live that way, it will cause peace. It will cause happiness. It will cause, in a physical sense, in the physical universe, prosperity and plenty. Now they were to work constructively and to add to it. And to add to its beauty, and to preserve all of its beauty, but instead, do it. The most supreme being that God could possibly create was an archangel called Lucifer.
And he turned against, and he turned his angels against God. And they became bitter and resentful, and they said, God isn't fair. They wanted more. They wanted to take everything and take it away from God. And so the government of God was wrecked and was unsuspended on this earth. But there was Lucifer, the archangel, on the throne. Now, perhaps he did rule and administer the government of God for a while. And I don't know whether that while was 15 days or 15 million years. I do know that as long as the government of God was administered, there was happiness and there was peace and joy on this earth. And everything was going along beautifully because they were living the way that was produced and caused that. But finally it was all wrecked and came into a state of decay and darkness instead of light. And chaos instead of peace and order. And so God renewed the face of this earth in 6 days, as you find described in the first chapter of Genesis. Now the only way that God could have beings that would do what he wanted done throughout the whole vast universe was to reproduce himself. Because the only possible being that existed or could exist that God could rely on, depend on, never to go the wrong way, it would cause unhappiness and take away the beauty. God was the only being that would not and therefore could not sin. And the only way that God could do it now, because if he created more and more angels and Lucifer was the supreme, he could create no one else. It's not possible to create anyone better than a perfect creation. He sealed up the sun of wisdom, perfection, and beauty. He was perfect in all his ways from the time he was created till iniquity was found in him. And God had no guarantee that any other being given names and the power of thought and reasoning and decision making would not go the same wrong way. God knew he would not, and he had to reproduce himself. Now, he could not do that out of spirit. He is spirit. But you see, spirit remains constant. It doesn't change. He had to make it out of beings that couldn't be changed, and especially if they went wrong and turned around and changed it on the right way. So he made us out of matter. We are made of clay, and he is the potter, and we are the clay. And he can form and shape us in his mood, and in his character, and in his way, if we will let him. But we have minds, and our minds work independently, and we can think, and we can make choices. Indeed, we have to make choices. And character cannot be instantly created by fiat. It just can't be. It has to be developed. And it takes time. And we have to have our part in it. And yet we have to do it by letting God put his love, his character, his righteousness in us. Because our own righteousness. And we do have people in this church who are very self-righteous, and they don't know the righteousness of God. And I know some of them personally. I'm not going to tell you who they are. But their righteousness is like filthy rags to God. And we have to be humble like a little child. And we have to surrender and yield to God. And that's the way we are made. Now, Adam had his opportunity, and he rejected it. And so God has not did a hands-off policy for 6,000 years, and that 6,000 years is about us. God has only dipped into this world, and this is still Satan's world. The former Lucifer is now Satan, and his former angels are now demons, and they're still here. And they happen to still be here. God set Lucifer on the throne, and God's very system of law means that he cannot remove him until a successor has qualified and also been inducted into office. Now, Jesus Christ came and was tempted by Satan. Where Adam fell, the second Adam, Christ, succeeded, and he overcame Satan, and he qualified to replace Satan and for the purpose of restoring the government of God on this earth. Those people who went out of here and had to go wanted to get away from the government of God, like Satan, they didn't want it.
They said, they don't want any God or any man under God ruling over us.
God's whole purpose is to restore his government on this earth.
He took a bunch of slaves out of ancient Egypt. He took them over to Mount Sinai. And there he gave them a proposition. I read it to you a while ago, and it's just precisely what he said to them. If you will walk in my way, if you will obey my covenant that I put in over you, then everything is going to go beautifully. He didn't come from the Holy Spirit not yet. But he knew that, and they had no faith. Well, they wanted to get everything he promised, so they said, sure, we'll do it. But they didn't need it. And they didn't do it. So God gave his covenant. The first time the people came to the promise that God had set over them, Samuel, and they said, we don't want God. We want a man to be our king like the other nations all around us. All that is to be Samuel. Well, we want to God about it. You read in the 8th chapter in 2 Samuel. And, or in the 1st Samuel. Anyway, God said, let them have what they want. They're not going to have you, Samuel. They're rejecting me, God, that I should not rule over them. They don't want me to rule them. They began to resent that kind of rule. God has put that rule in his church, and I want to tell you, brethren, that first, when the first church was first being organized, I wanted to be me. I didn't want to rule. And I let others run all over me, and it cost lives for all eternity. And I was rebuked very firmly by one or two men older than I, who said that God has put his government in the church, and he expects you to administer, and you're going to be held to account. And I began to realize I had to do it. And the government of God is in this church. And it's the only place on the face of this earth where the government of God exists. And everything that God is doing has to do with restoring his government on this earth. That's what it's all about. That's why he called you towards getting the government of God established once again on this earth. That's why Christ is coming a second time. We get away from this basic truth, brethren, and we need to get back on it. And he wants the announcement made that man's government is coming back. The kingdom of God is what is coming. That is the gospel. And the gospel of it is being preached around the world and has been for 1800 years. But that is the gospel. Now the first Adam made it. But God made his truth available and it's in his Bible. And now, those that God calls have an opportunity. Most people don't have any opportunity for salvation now any more than they did in ancient Israel. Jesus Christ said, no man can come to me except the Father draws him through the Holy Spirit of God. Most of the people that you see out on the street in the world, they may be better people than you are, I don't know. But I know one thing, if God hasn't called them, there's nothing they can do to this. They can't understand the things that God has in store for them. They don't, and they can't, and their minds won't open up to it. God has called us for a job to get done, and I'm doing that job, and I make you behind me. Sometimes I think that most of you just don't understand. I am to get that announcement out. Jesus Christ came, announcing the kingdom of God. This Malachi here, he said that he was coming. Notice Mark 1, verse 1, the beginning of the gospel. What is the gospel of Christ? The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, and it's the first verse of what I read to you in Malachi 3. And then it this is the first coming, so it starts talking about John the Baptist, who prepared the way before him coming then. John the Baptist was only a forerunner and a type of what this church is doing. Someday you're going to wake up, brethren, and realize that this was the work of the living God. And that we've taken it lightly, and we haven't been back of the bumping up to be. And judgment is on us right now. Judgment is not on the rest of the world. But you and I are being judged, and you're being judged by how much you pray for the work. And how important is that in your life? Or is it just something cheap in your eyes and in your sight? That's what it's all about. Now, I have to do a certain amount of rules. You know how I do it? Solomon says, in many councils, there's safety. So I counsel with others. I discuss it with others. I pray about it. I listen to others. I don't want to make mistakes. And I pray and I ask God if we make the right decision. And I try to do it in love. And out of concern and consideration for the others involved, not for me. I've made a mistake once or twice. I don't think many. God will never let me make a little fatal mistake. And he never will. But the job God called me to do is getting done through his power and not through mine. I'm in my 84th year now. But I'm only 37, going on 36. And the source of that strength is in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, the last three or four verses. Anyway, here's the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus. Then it comes on the Baptist. And when we come to the 13th, Jesus was there with the devil, but showed him the intention of the devil. And when he had conquered the devil in that temptation, he qualified to administer the government of God. The kingdom of God and the government of God are not exactly the same thing. The kingdom of God is the government of God, but also it is the family of God into which we can be born. Now, the government of God was on earth, not the family of God. God is reproducing himself. He created the family of God in us. And we become his children when we have the Holy Spirit. And his spirit witnesses with our spirit, the spirit that is in each of us, that we are the children of God. Now, Jesus came then to announce that change. Now notice after Christ had qualified, the very next verse, now after the child was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. The good news! It was good news he was announcing. It was to come. It hasn't come yet. And saying, the time is fulfilled. What did he mean, the time is fulfilled? Why, he was not qualified. That's what he meant. The time was fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It had never been at hand until the next ruler had qualified. You get the meaning of these things, brother, when you read the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. That good news is a message in the gospel. Now, that's not the interest in the world, is it? In this church. It is not. Look over here in Galatians, the first chapter. And this only gets down to about 68 AD, a few years later. And Paul, writing to the church in Galatians, says, I marvel, verse 6, chapter 1, Galatians. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that would come and pervert the gospel of Christ. And that's what happened. And he said, if you preach any other gospel, you're under a double curse. And that's two verses. And yet, I have taught ministers in Ambassador College, and I've sent them out, which they ended the fee, and put God's people under them. And they have misled those people, even as Satan misled his name. Look at who's praying at headquarters. Even right over the very throne of God, one of the angels who sings, covers the very throne of God, the throne of the universe. He's sent out in the field now with some other angels with him. But he was in, and he fought against God. I'm the conqueror of God, and I don't want to have that heaven. And he fought with angels. But the work to get that message announced,
Look at him, brother.
God is only calling a few now. And he's calling on to get that young man. And Lord, let him get in that young man.
In the part that develops the character in the men so that he needs him to turn into a man through the thousand years.
When God does set his hand to save the whole world.
You'll read about it. And then 25, beginning of verse 31.
Back in 1933 for this job. And Brother Hunter has been faithful to him.
And I started, God opened the kind of doors that would bring people in this kind of a country. Now, the United States is utterly unique. There's no other country like it. The gospel could not have started in any country but this one. It takes money to get it into the world, and with the, such money can only come from the lowly common people. And this is the only country where the common people could put in enough money to get this gospel out. And this is the only country where we would be allowed to take the money and use it in other countries to reach the people there. It never could have gone from any other country but this one. But other nations are not like this nation. I have a few figures I just ran over. Well, he's banging the cake. Prime Minister Rommel was assassinated. 80% of the people there are illiterate. They can't read or write, have no education, couldn't understand the gospel message if you choose it. It leaves only 20% that have any education, and most of those have what we would call about a third or fourth grade education. That's a pitiful condition here, and that's poverty stricken. Pakistan, and if that was East Pakistan before, also 80%. India, second largest nation in the world, 65% are illiterate, totally ignorant, totally illiterate. Indonesia, the fifth largest nation on earth, 125 million people, 65% are illiterate. Kenya, 70% are illiterate. Brazil, 100 million people, tied with Japan as next largest after Indonesia. 52% are illiterate and totally ignorant. Oh, 80%. Egypt, 70%. They're not like the United States. Only people we're going to get to with the gospel are some of those at the top. Now, it took us 40 years to get that announcement out where enough people have heard it in the United States and Canada to say that we have really got the gospel out in this country. We haven't reached every single human being. I don't think for a minute that God expects that. If something is unpopular that people don't like. But we have not enough to love in this country. And it is pretty hard today to find anyone who hasn't heard the World Tomorrow program. His name was Arnold Edmund Strong, who was in town himself, and so he's on the air now. But we were not able to reach the other nations around the world. And the big population nations, like China, Russia, India, Japan, and nations of that sort. Now, they're altogether different. In the United States, we can buy time on radio. No nation you can't. The government controls them all. They have no freedom of press, no freedom of speech. And the government in those nations has closed the door to getting a message like this over. Now, I want you to understand this and get it, friends. We have worked where we could, but the doors were closed elsewhere, and we could not get the message over there, and that's what we're called for. That's what I live for. And finally, I found God was just opening doors for me to meet with kings and presidents and prime ministers and emperors. I got a call from our general office. Back here in 1968, early in 1968, ex-King Leopold, and I'm now the ruling king, but still the king, nevertheless, the fellow, had been an envoy, and he said he'd like to meet me. He said, in other words, that he would like to meet me. He wanted to see the man who founded the college like that, and produced that kind of duty, or at least attracted that kind. So I went to meet him. And his right-hand man, injustice was astounded at the favor I had in the King of all time. That favor has grown. And we question now. And he tells us so. He signs a telegram or letter that threatens deflection. Gradually, other doors were opened. Israel came next. And then in Japan. And I received the highest honor that the Japanese government has conferred on any non-official agent. One of the little things here in South America. Well, that goes with it. And that sure many Japanese that I have that standing, which I think is the rank higher in Japan than the United States ambassador. I'm a member of the Imperial family now, our privilege to come to my hotel and pay their respect. Now, that is never done in a country like that. Unless special honor to me. All my life, since I was 19 years old, I have been in the company of presidents of big corporations, chairmen of boards of the big banks of Wall Street, New York, and South and South Street, Chicago. Now, I receive courteous treatment, just as I guess everybody does, and people like that. These are courteous men. But it wasn't like I'm getting now, it was nothing special. It's different now, and I'm doing nothing to promote it. So I know it's God. God is giving me that favor. Now, why? I'm not going in there to convert the king or the president. I'm going in there to be the head of the government, and the government has shut the door to getting this message, and if I get favor in their eyes, the door opens. Now do you see? I'm not trying to just convert these people. I'm not hobnobbing around with these changes. People on the joy street of some kind of my own. It's the hardest work I have ever had to do. And it's not easy. I know people that have never traveled say, oh boy, if I can just travel like Mr. Armstrong. Some tell you we can think of it on the second trip. Not many can pass a gap. They just can't do it. Well, I have to. They say, well, how do you do it? Crossing all these time zones, sometimes 8 or 9 of them on one trip. And you have to readjust everything of your functioning of your body. To a new time. Instead of breakfast, maybe it's dinner in the evening, or the night before, or the night after, or something. Your whole body gets upset. And big corporations who send in on a trip like that won't let them do anything for 3 or 4 days after they get there because they say to the mind, I have to go right ahead. Sometimes I have actually arrived in Tokyo, Japan. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is 11 o'clock at night for me, and I have to wait until 8 o'clock their time, which is about 3 or 4 a.m. for me, and then attend a dinner and speak at a dinner. Well, I've been up all night and it's now in the morning and my eyelids are very heavy and I'm very, very deep. Football players have to get up for every game and I have to be up and alert for every meeting and every speech. Most people retire 25 years earlier than I am now. So I have to keep going. That's why I need your prayers. I need you behind me, brother. But that's the job, is to get this message as a witness, or for a witness to a nation. It doesn't mean I have to get into every nation. But it has to be enough that it does go practically around the world as a witness. And now I find, in this time of trouble, crime is increasing. Marriage and divorce are increasing. Families are picking up. Nations are being overthrown. That's the world to live in. Violence, violence everywhere. We got things we probably like. The motion picture, television, radio, and these things we use and make a curse out of. Because we don't listen to them. People say, well, we'll probably do away with all that anymore. money?
Well, I don't know.
Maybe instead of doing away with it, we could put them to a right use and use them for children.
I think some of those things we'll see when we get there.
But I know we're preparing the way for the coming of Christ to bring the government of God back to this earth. And in the meantime, it's going to stay in God's church.
Now, if you think the devil is right,
you don't want to leave for him.
Just go right on.
And finally wind up blowing the fire. That's the way you want it.
That's your choice.
Some have already taken that step.
And I don't know. I learned to love these people. I don't want to see them go the wrong direction. I just don't.
But God made us out of mortal flesh. So that we can be, as you read in Obadiah.
If we're not going to go with God, if we won't go with Him and in His glory, we will sit down and be as though we had not been. We will be ashes under the soles of the feet of those who do not want to know God. So, it's continuing. And doors are being opened. And the gospel is getting into these countries.
That's the message I wanted to bring to you today. I've had to scrap my notes that I intended.
And Uncle Floyd, I had made out a new outline and preached the sermon. A big advantage is that someone,
oh yes,
I'm also, Mr. What can I say? Maybe my own adopted son. Chaplain, who was every standing under him, he moved to him this morning. And I said, well, that's got to be the message of the Peter Tabernacle. And I got off my notes of the Peter Tabernacle last year.
Here's my comment. That's exactly the message I brought 2 years ago.
You know what that makes me think of? I used to live on the Long Island, born and raised there. And the Rock Island Railroad, not through the morning. And it was so notorious, no one had ever known the train to be on time. Always. And one day the train came through on time. And the story goes, they got a brass band out and they had a celebration. And everybody was shouting for joy. The train is on time today.
And you know what? They just tell me it was yesterday's train one day late.
Well, just one or two things. I have many other festival sites to attend yet. Oh, that's not going over time. I only had half an hour for my sermon, so that's why I got the message over anyway that I wanted to get to you. And I might say to you, now, my son Ernest Ed will be here on the final meeting with you. And I'm not president of Ambassador College any longer. Ernest Ed is president, not of the church, but of the college. Still was exactly vice president of the church. But I'm still the chancellor and the chairman of the board of the college. And so I have some rule over my son's head, but I try to do that, like I say, in all of them rule, in cooperation, in love, in kindness, in consideration, and every way. Now we're all going to rule in God's kingdom. We have to learn how to rule. And you all have something to rule over. A woman said, well, how can I do that? I don't have anything to rule over, Mr. Armstrong.
Oh, yes, you do.
You have a kitchen at home, you rule over that. You have children, you rule over them. How about a little child? Does the child have anything to rule over? Yes. A little dog, give her a doll. Teach her how to rule over that doll. Like she should. And like she'll learn to be a good mother when she's still a little girl. And part of her rule is teaching her to do that. Little things like that. We all need to get closer to God. Rather than we need to pray more. If this is a real thing, your sensation can't touch it. Satan is broadcasting to every one of us. Every one of us has a spirit that is attuned to his voice, his wavelength. It's just because you're converted doesn't shut Satan off. He still will try to get to you. And more, all more. But if we know the way of God, and we're praying to God, when Satan gets his message into our mind, we just cast it out because we recognize that's not God's message.
I have said and preached and preached that if you ever get even resentment and bitter, that you're hooked worse than if you're hooked on heroin. And so I want to lead their people right into that sort of thing. I guess I just didn't believe what I said. Adam and Eve didn't believe what God said. They didn't believe a word. The people didn't believe what Jesus said. You know what they said? Stop. But the biggest credibility gap that anyone ever suffered in history was Jesus Christ. There were only 120 that believed him and believed what he said when he was through 3.5 years. But 120 and the 12 were on the first. And I believe that I'm going to preach and I'm going to back to him. And please keep up your prayers and pray more than you can.